It's time to pull up a chair and open your Bible for today's Bible study segment of Naomi's Table. Gather around and let's begin.
Well, here we are in our Bible study segment, ladies. If you have your Bibles, you can open them up to 1 Samuel. And our Bible study teacher, Beth Seifert, is here. Thanks for joining us, Beth.
Hi there, Amy. Well, if you remember yesterday, we left Saul going back to his place and David going back off into the wilderness after David and Saul have had another interaction where David could have killed Saul, but did not. So today we're going to see where David goes next. And unfortunately, it's not a great choice. So again, remember that God does not hide the warts of his people. He lets us know when they make good decisions and when they make bad ones. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to 1 Samuel chapter 27, and we're going to read the first 12 verses. Then David said in his heart, "Now I shall perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than that I should escape to the land of the Philistines. Then Saul will despair of seeking me any longer within the borders of Israel, and I shall escape out of his hand." So David arose and went over, he and the 600 men who were with him, to Achish, the son of Maok, king of Gath. And David lived with Achish at Gath, he and his men, every man with his household, and David with his two wives, Ahinoam and Jezreel of Jezreel, and Abigail of Carmel, Nabal's widow. And when it was told Saul that David had fled to Gath, he no longer sought him. Then David said to Achish, "If I have found favor in your eyes, let a place be given me in one of the country towns, that I may dwell there. For why should your servant dwell in the royal city with you?" So that day Achish gave him Ziklag. Therefore Ziklag has belonged to the kings of Judah to this day. And the number of the days that David lived in the country of the Philistines was 1 year and 4 months. Now David and his men went up and made raids against the Geshurites, the Gerizzites, and the Amalekites, for these were the inhabitants of the land from of old, as far as Shur to the land of Egypt. And David would strike the land, and he would leave neither man nor woman alive, but would take away the sheep, the oxen, the donkeys, the camels, and the garments, and come back to Achish. When Achish asked, "Where have you made a raid today?" David would say, "Against the Negeb of Judah, or against the Negeb of the Jerahmeelites, or against the Negeb of the Kenites." And David would leave neither man nor woman alive to bring news to Gath, thinking, "Lest they should tell about us and say, 'So David has done.'" Such was his custom all the while he lived in the country of the Philistines. And Achish trusted David, thinking, "He has made himself an utter stench to his people Israel. Therefore he shall always be my servant." Now David spent some time considering all that had happened. Saul being set upon by the injurious spirit, Saul's hatred for David and his desire for David to die, David's most recent action and rebuke of Saul, and the likely long-term reaction from Saul, which would be a change of mind again, and a renewed attack against David. David ponders all these things, but he appears here to have forgotten the most important thing, that God was the one ultimately in control, that God was the one who had continually protected David from Saul, that even though God hadn't killed Saul yet, that didn't mean that Saul had God's favor. And David begins to feel hopeless because he's looking at the situation with human eyes. So he decides to leave the country so he doesn't have to keep roaming around anymore. He decides to go over to his enemies, to God's enemies, and seek sanctuary there. Remember, he has two wives with him, and his men also have their families. So he and his 600 men and their families head to the Philistines. When Saul hears this, he stops searching for David. David's plan worked. Saul is leaving him alone, for the time being at least. But David has reacted to his situation without consideration of God. He's tired of running and he's tired of hiding. He just wants to be safe. Yet at what cost? In his first trip to the Philistines, David had to pretend to be a madman in order to keep himself safe from Achish. Now this is a contrast to that trip. Achish is now ready to receive David because David is known as a formidable opponent of Saul. Achish sees a potential ally this time more than anything. David and his men are welcomed into the Philistine lands. Of course, this comes with a price. To offer sanctuary to David and his men, the king expects something in return: their service. He expects them to fight against his enemies. which happens to include the people of God. David, however, desired some independence, and he asks that he and his men be allowed to head out to the country. He and his men were also putting a strain on the resources of the town, and David doesn't want to appear to be in competition with the king for the control of the royal city. He doesn't want the rule of that city. He also wants to be able to move around without such close scrutiny, as is evident in his next actions. So David is given Ziklag, this land, as a possession, and it stays in the hands of the kings of Judah ever after, and he begins making raids into the lands of God's enemies. He leaves no one alive for two reasons. First and foremost, because the peoples in these lands were supposed to be wiped out according to God. They were the Canaanites and the Amalekites, and they were supposed to be utterly destroyed according to Deuteronomy 7:2. But until this point, the people who had inherited the land, when the land was divided up by Joshua, they had not been able to take full control of it. So David is completing that. Secondly, because David tells Achish that he's raiding Israel, and he doesn't want Achish to find out the truth. Achish believes David's lies and thinks that David is making himself a stench to his own people by raiding them, and so he believes that David will stay with him forever, which was wishful thinking on Achish's part, I'm afraid. David's method of raiding, wherein he left no one alive, conformed with Joshua and his conquest of Canaan, so it wasn't unheard of. But still, during this time, this year plus, David is relying on himself, not on God. He's gone over to the Philistines, lives among them, all the while lying to the king of the Philistines to appear before the king as a traitor of Israel, while secretly going and methodically destroying God's enemies. David's return to the land of the Philistines is different than his first visit. Then he came in secret. Here he goes in openly. Then he was alone. Here he has his men and their families with him. Then he was hardly known by the people. This time they know him. He's an outlaw, hated by Saul. We have no record of David seeking God's will before this move to the Philistines, nor of David seeking God before his raids. However, we know that when Gad came to David several chapters back, the prophet Gad, David listened to Gad and he went to the land of Judah to hide, and while he was hiding there, God continued to rescue him, often miraculously, from the hand of Saul. We don't see that Gad has come to David and told him that it's okay now to depart from the land of Judah. So it appears that that instruction probably was still in effect, that he was supposed to be in the land of Judah. But David doesn't remember that when he makes his choice to head over to this land. He was scared and he was looking for a human solution to his problem. Here we see David clinging to the idea of any port in a storm. And while David was able to use this time to attack God's enemies, this is a season where David is separated from God. He ran in fear instead of remembering not to be afraid. He aligned himself with those who were also God's enemies, purely out of fear of Saul and distrust or doubt of God to provide for him. While not all of the consequences of this are going to come about immediately, one long-term consequence we will see is that when David wants to build the temple for God, God sends the prophet Nathan to him to tell him that because of all the blood that David has shed, he's not going to be the one to build that temple. But even at that moment, though, God will provide an amazing promise and legacy for David, demonstrating over and over that God is faithful, even when we aren't. So today my question for us is this. When you experience fear and doubt, where do you turn? Do you turn away from God or to him? Be honest. Some of us will turn to seemingly constructive things like the latest self-help book or motivational speaker. Some of us will turn to destructive habits like overeating or drugs and alcohol. Through it all, though, if we turn to anything but God in those moments, we're turning to an idol of our own making. We need to realize that God never promised smooth sailing. In fact, Jesus promised that we will be persecuted for his sake. Will there be times of fear? Yes. Should those times overwhelm us? No, not when we know who is our source of strength. I'm not strong, but he is. I'm not good, but he is. I'm not awesome or amazing, but he is. And when we remember that, we won't do what David did and turn to what we see as our only option, but which may be walking into the enemy's hands. Sometimes we simply have to continue to hang on to what we know to be true and let God work out the details in His timing, even if that happens to mean we wait for sudden death overtime to see His solution. Are you able to wait on Him today, or does your fear cause you to strike out blindly? Talk to God today and examine your own heart. When you are afraid, do you trust in the Lord? Or do you follow David to any port, even that of an enemy, in a storm?
Well, thank you, Beth. And Beth's study guides, as well as the 10-minute podcasts of these presentations, are all available in our archives under the Bible Studies tab of our website, naomistable.com. Nancy and I will be back with more on this in just a moment.